What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 79, Hell of Bass Fishing Podcast. This week, we do a bunch of tournament recaps from Coronas, from Green Lake, Bass Nation on the Mississippi River. Special guest Bart jumps in, talks about the TOC, answers a lot of your questions. It's a fun episode. Hope you guys enjoy it. This week, the Hell of Bass Fishing Podcast is brought to you by Arsenal Fishing. Arsenal Fishing offers premium custom-made performance apparel and tackle. Arsenal delivers a wide variety of custom-designed baits, accessories, and tools, along with unique utilitarian apparel for all outdoor enthusiasts. As part of their support, you can use code HELLABASS15 to save 15% on all purchases at arsenalfishing.com to support the show. Now let's get back to helping you catch more bass and suck less. All right, what's up, everybody? Hellabass is live. We're late. We're off schedule. We didn't pre-plan it, but we are here. So what's up, guys? I don't know if anybody's in the chat yet, but when you are in the chat, let me know, and we can hang out. We'll talk about bass fishing tonight, give you a recap of what's been going on in my life, and yeah, we'll do that. It'll be good times. So I don't know if anybody's jumping in here. All right, White Whale Fishing, JM. What's up, guys? Good to see you. Impromptu stream tonight. I was planning to do it. I just didn't schedule it. Been crazy busy fishing. This was my 11th day / evening fishing in a row. So I've been on a bit of a bass and bender lately. What's up, Nick? BB Bassin. Doug, what's going on, everybody? Darius, good to see you. Hopefully you're escaping the heat down there. Lots to catch up on. Yeah, I guess I only missed like one stream week last week when I was at the state tournament, and then I streamed and I was off a week. So it's been intermittent lately. So I just want to be like, I'm back. I think I'll be on for several weeks in a row. We'll catch up. Growing solo tonight. No guests. What's up, Leo? And we'll just catch up, answer a bunch of questions. Tyler goes fishing. Hopefully you went fishing. Good question, right away. Biggest bass while on the bender? Right at 4 pounds, give or take, 4.1, 4.2. Borrow your cup at practice. Why do I not remember that? Cup. Yes, Jack Visor Gang is here. What's up, Chuck? Good to see you. Yeah, good. People are popping in for an unscheduled evening. That's awesome. Catching my breath. Like, I was out fishing tonight doing some like media stuff and some photo shoots for Arsenal Fishing, and literally just racing from the lake, burned through a Taco Bell drive through, got the dogs fed, got my microphone camera set up, and none of it was set up because I've been gone for so long, and just rolled in hot to stream tonight. Have I ever thrown a rat? I haven't thrown a rat. I haven't. They're interesting. What's up, Ron? Aren't you, you're not up in Mille Lacs? Yeah, Taco Bell was delicious. I got the $5 chalupa box, the kind of make-your-own box. It was pretty good. Got a chalupa supreme, and then I had the chips and cheese and a crunch. I upgraded to the Dorito Loco taco, which was delicious, and then I had a free reward in my app and got an extra crunchy taco. So living large tonight. At Taco Bell. I think my body's used to it, BB Bassing. I'm like Taco Bell doesn't hit me that way. So good evening, Ronald. What's up? So lots of things to talk about. We'll do some tournament recaps. I grabbed some rods out of my boat that I'll show you some of the stuff that's been working for me that you're gonna see in upcoming videos. So that's coming up. Yeah, that's cool. Getting back to watch some play ball. That's awesome. The Quesalupa was the golden times. What's up, honey? Hope you're enjoying your vacation up at Cass Lake. The dogs are fed. They're happy. They got to run around a little bit. I have been known to hit up Taco John's lately because, like, actually the few of the tournaments I've been to have been kind of on the west side of the cities, and there's not as many Taco Bells out there, but there are some Taco John's. So I've been digging getting the potato Olays on the side and then getting a side of that nacho cheese to dip them in. That's been pretty solid. So I definitely agree with that. I don't know if I like their tacos better, but I definitely like their potato Olays and the nacho cheese. Have I thrown a flat side lately? I did try the Little John flat side on the river a little bit, and I know some of the people in my club were catching them, but I didn't really catch them. So Taco Bravos. I'm more of a double-decker guy at Taco Bell, but yeah, either way. I'm definitely thinking about it, Ryan, going to the Omnia party for Fighter. I think that's in like 10 days on the 23rd, 24th, something like that. And yeah, I think it'll work if I can coordinate with my beautiful wife on gymnastics that night, then I can probably stop in for a little bit of that Omnia Seth Fighter celebration. Nice. Looks like Bassmaster Matt's about ready to have one more day, and then he's going to be hitting a week of fishing. That's awesome. Where are you going? Up north? Going to a cabin? Where are you going? I don't know. Maybe I could do custom. Could we have like a Jacob, if I come, could we have a custom visor stand? Like if people buy an Omnia hat and they want me to make them a visor, I'll bring my Arsenal battle braid scissors and we can do custom visors right on the spot. Let me know if you think that's a good idea. And if you're in the chat and you would show up and get a custom visor, let me know. Oh, caught fish on a Whittier State. Nice. Very cool. Well, if you do, Ryan, make sure you say hi. I'd love to meet you in person. That'd be cool. Nice. Longville Reamer area. That's going to be good. Honestly, if you're going up this weekend, I think the Minnesota Bass Team Trail is going to be on Woman on Saturday or Sunday. So that might be cool to watch the weigh-in at Women. Sorry, Woman, since you're going to be in the area. That might be cool. Well, you could wear the visor on cloudy days, David, or like me, if you have your Arsenal hoodie, you just put the hoodie up over your visor, and it doesn't matter if you're follicly challenged or not, you can still wear a visor. Pro tip. All right. It's approved. We will cut custom visors for anybody that wants at the fighter party. Yes. So Sunday, what day is that? Today's the 11th, 12th, 15th, 14th, 15th. It'll be the weigh-in, probably like 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock weigh-in. I'm not sure where it is. Jack, where is the weigh-in and what time is it? Drop it in the chat. Whew. Is it just me or am I rambling? I did get some cool stuff in the mail. Speaking of visors, I did grab a BTL Bass Talk Live Richardson hat. What do you guys think? Does it remain a hat? Or do we make this one a visor? If you are in the chat now, or actually when the replay drops and the video goes up, leave a comment and say like BTL visor or BTL hat or cut it or leave it or let me know and we'll tally it up and then we'll decide what we need to do with this. It's so stuffy and restricting having a full hat on. So I got that. I like how the BTL logo looks really good with the Arsenal. It ties in nicely. It would be a tall visor compared to the Arsenal, but we might give a swing. We might give her the battle braid scissors a test. But like I said, leave comments after the video. If you're watching the replay, let me know. Hat or visor? It could be like a dress hat for like when I go to weddings, maybe, or something like that. And then I did pick up the AFCO Samurai Sun hoodie BTL, which just on the front just looks like a regular AFCO Sun hoodie. But on the back, got the big Bass Talk Live, and then down one sleeve is AFCO, and then down the other sleeve, it's got the Bass Talk Live. So that's pretty cool. And basically, all the profits from the Bass Talk Live sales go to basically support Matt Pangrack, Panger on the Bassmaster Open. So, Sun Hoodies, good deal, and supports them. Yeah, so it looks like Patrick's on the lake, 3 p.m. I'm too lazy to go pick up at Omni most of the time. I usually just wait for next day shipping. Plus, you get more notes that way. I have some bull shads. I haven't thrown them much, and I have not tried the bull shad rod. It does look a little tall, but I'm willing to chance it. Oh, yeah, I would say the 734 Champ XP would be my first choice for swim jigs in that range. Or if you like a longer rod, a 764. Depends. Like, are you fishing them deep? Like, because you're fishing heavier weights, are you fishing them deep or are you fishing them more? And like, are you a braid guy? Are you a fluorocarbon? I need a little more information, but I think a 734C. But that is a little heavier. I throw quarters and 3/8. I don't throw a lot of half and 3/4 ounce. So if you're doing like the heavy Alabama swim jig where like the Steve Kennedy thing where you're fishing on braid, then maybe like a 735. Yeah, awesome. And I think they still have some hats and some decals and sunbuffs in the store. So if you missed out, there's still some of that in the store and you can still support BTL. Because they're lightweight, breathable shirts, they don't really, they're moisture wicking, so they're not hot. They actually block the sun. They don't keep it in. So it's more about covering up and not oiling myself up with suntan lotion. I actually feel like at the end of the day, I'm less beat by covering up than if I go shirtless or sleeveless and shorts. But... Ooh, gymnastics. Yeah, I feel that. My gymnastics is in Burnsville, though, so it's nowhere close. The current engine on my boat is a 2005 Mercury EFI 200, not an Opti. Yes, I have two Dobbin 704CB in the non-glass versions. I just prefer the non-glass or the non-glass. I like the graphite versions up where I fish because I fish a lot of grass, and I just like the feel when I'm coming and ripping through grass. But I basically use my 704CBs for jerk baits, like 110s and McSticks and Jackal re-ranges and things like that. And then one usually has like a DT6, DT4 type crankbait, flat side, Fritz side, Rapala OG Slim, those type of crankbaits are what I would throw on my 704. And then for like my more like square bills, wider wobble stuff, DT10s, then I go up to the 705 or 735. But before we forget, thanks to Arsenal Fishing for supporting the stream. Without them, this isn't as great a stream. They support the show, they support the channel. So if you guys want to check those out, code down below, Arsenal Fishing. You can get, you know, some sun hoodies, some headwear, some tackle, some scissors, some wacky tools. There's lots of great things. Still using my Coalition. I do have the Coalition, but I think I'm about ready to let it go. I just got a few new rods, and I think somebody will really appreciate having that rod and the camo. And so I might sell that here in the near future. But so we talked about the BTL merch. I did get this new thing here. So the Arsenal has what they call their cutter kit, which is kind of cool. They have a kit that comes with their three of their scissors in a battalion bag. So you get a storage kit, which once you take them out of there, you're probably not going to use the bag for storing the scissors. You probably put soft plastics or crankbaits or things like that. But they have the Covert, which is kind of a compact, soft-handled scissors, which is really nice for keeping in your bag. It actually is kind of soft, so if you step on it, it doesn't, like, hurt your foot. The Battle Braid, which are scissors, which are a little bit beefier. They're great for cutting visors or things other than line. Both of these cut scissors and, like, cut braid amazing. You don't need to put tension on them. They just snip it clean. This one comes with a sheath if you want to mount it, like, in a tool shop or on the side of your boat or in a compartment. And then you got the little Ninja, which comes on a little retractable lanyard. So if you want to, like, have it tied to your tackle bag or on your loop of your belt or in a compartment, it always, like, stays attached so you don't lose it. Because I feel like no matter how many scissors I have in the boat, they float around and I lose them. But if I attach this one to something, then I'm always going to have one. So I might end up putting this one on, like, my tackle bag. Sean Lai is in the house. What's up? So if you're interested in getting a bunch of high-quality scissors to deck out your tackle bags and boxes, check out the Cutter Kit at Arsenal, and then you can use that code. nice. What Riot baits did you score? I have not tried Riot baits, but they got some interesting little stuff. Little Boy Webedo, those are good lakes for sure. I fished Little Boy a long time ago. Nice. Yeah. Creators are in demand, Fishing with Gramps. All right. Justin says, tournaments coming up for you. Installing Panoptics after the butt whipping I took in Oahu. Actually, I just got a notification that my Hummingbird 360 finally shipped, so that probably will show up tomorrow. I don't know. So I was planning to go to Florida, and I was going to miss the tournament for the TBF Team Trail, but we might not go there, so I have that tournament. There is a tournament on Big Stone I'm interested in. There's this TBF Semis on Sturgeon Bay. So there's a few things, but I got a little bit of a break here for a few weeks anyways. So unless I find some opens or some things to jump in. Yeah, I've warrantied several Dobbins rods that I have broke because of stupid stuff that I've done. It is a quick process. You just... yeah, cut that 6-inch section out, like you said, right above the grip, and then just make sure you get right up there to the model number, so that 6-8-inch section. Drop it in a padded envelope. There is a section on the website where it gives you the warranty address, which is basically their normal address in Texas, and you just put warranty department on it. Maybe drop a note in there with your contact info so they can call you back. And then, they'll probably call you in a few days to get payment information for the warranty. That's assuming that you broke it. If you really feel strongly that it was a defect, which does happen with every rod manufacturer, you can send the whole rod in, let them inspect it, and then if they agree with you, they'll replace it, no charge. But assuming that, you know, it's something you dinged or stepped on or whatever, you know, then you just cut the 6 inches and then you pay the replacement fee. So would I consider buying a 2000 Mercury XR6 150 for an 03 Triton boat? Yeah. I mean, it really depends on where you are in your, like, journey. But yeah, I mean, assuming that 03 Triton boat is rated for a 150 and it's not underpowered, the old XR6 motors were really reliable, you know, motors and tough. So, I mean, if, you know, it's always nice to smell a little two stroke in the morning. I mean, obviously they're going to use more gas and use more oil, but if you can get the right deal on it and it makes sense for the boat, then sure. I mean, I think a rebuilt with 20 hours on it is probably going to last a long time. But you know, it really depends on the boat and the situation and what your plans are. Now, if I would I go fish the Bassmaster Opens with that and depend on it? Probably not. But if I'm fishing little lakes around the house and local stuff, then yeah, that, and I'm just trying to get fishing and get into a bass boat, then it totally would make sense. Yeah, it's a sweet deal. And plus you can use the code, so that's cool. What's up, Stephanie? Good to see you on here. I think it's like the South Dakota TBF Open. I think I saw a flyer. It's like the October 1st and 2nd or something like that. If it's not already full, I think it's like limited to 40 boats. What's up, Thomas? Yeah, I'm not familiar with that marina. Oh, Vigilante and Baton Worms from Riot. Cool. Yeah, I think a 185 with a 150, that makes a lot of sense. So as long as you get it for fair value, I think it's a reasonable thing to pair up. The Champ 744 is sweet. I am really loving it. I haven't got on a huge flipping bite since I got it, but I love the way the rod fishes, the balance, how it feels. Interesting story. So I was fishing the second day of the state tournament with a kid named George from West Central Bassmaster. He lives out in Spicer on Green Lake. And he only brought like three rods because he got there late. And we got in an area and I was like, do you want something to flip with? And I just like, here, you can use my rod. And he's like flipping. He's like, this is pretty nice. He's like, how much is this? Is this like $350? I was like, no, it's like $250, $260. And he's like, man, this feels good. And like after fishing with it for a few hours, he commented on my video Monday night. He's like, I had to buy one as soon as I got done. So definitely loving this rod. And I would say up to this point, now this is still early, but I would say my DX, my HP 745s are my favorite rods. But this feels like it's really close. And I don't know, for the money, I don't know that it's worth it to go up to the Champion Extreme over this. I don't know, more testing, but that might be a take that I have after fishing it a little more, that I might actually like downgrade and save some money and go to the 744 jig special. What's up, Austin? Good to see you here. Bo's in the house. Nice. Is it full already, Justin? I didn't realize you had to be a South Dakota member. I thought you could just be a TBF member. So maybe I misread the flyer. Yeah, the SLX XT is a great reel. Super impressed. Like, if you're looking at those $100 reels, I think totally worth it, 30 extra bucks to get the XT. Like, it feels way more solid, so much more smooth. For that 30 bucks, it just feels like such a solid reel. Like, I would put the SLX XT up to about anything in that $100 to $150 range. So the Extreme HP 744 is an amazing rod, but this Champ 744 fishes more like the 745. The Jig Special rod has a lot faster action, a lot more backbone. So really, the Champ 744 compares more directly to the 745 HP. So the 744 Extreme compares closer to the 734 XP HP. But yeah, so both a little slower action on that. We have not broke down state yet, Chad. We've basically just been catching up in general. Gaff, good to see you made it home. What's up, Chris? What's up, William Jackson? Hella Bizzle. I like it. It's got a nice ring to it. Yeah, Bono, that is the jig rod special that I dropped my video on Monday about. Yeah, we might test out that rod tomorrow night. More flip and bite. So I'm going to jump in the boat with Jack tomorrow night, I think, and see if we can get on a flip and bite. 30 frogging. For my tactical frogging, I use the Sierra 735. The Fury is a great rod too. It really depends on, you know, your budget and what you want, but like, I don't think you need a super sensitive rod for frogging. So, the Cadence 745 might be a nice option. I haven't fished it myself, but definitely the Cadence are super hard to get. So don't get rid of your Fury until you can get your hands on a Cadence, because they're hard to get. And then for my long distance frogging, I usually use the Champ Extreme 746 or 795. Nice. Catching them in West Kentucky. Nice. I did see Ike won a kayak tournament. So now he qualified for the national championship that weighs in next year at the same time as Hartwell. So what if Ike wins the last Northern Open on Thousand Islands, and then he would be in the Classic at Hartwell and also qualified for the kayak national championship at the same time? Obviously, I think it would be a pretty easy choice to fish the Hartwell Classic, but DC reels are nice, especially if you're new to baitcasters. and or you're throwing really light baits that are hard to throw in the wind for sure. What's up, Johnny? Yeah, so the Champ XP744 absolutely is a good flipping rod. It's much more powerful than the HP744. Good reminder, Don. Thanks, that. Yes. Thumbs up. Appreciate it. Yeah, my 785 is my distance frogging rod. So if I'm in like big rice mats, big duckweed pad fields, I like that. I use the 735 more when I'm skipping my frogs around docks and overhanging trees and cut banks and stuff like that. Jay Beffa in the house. What's going on, Jay? I have not held the Cadence 745, so I would have to defer to Gaff. He says it may be just a touch softer. but that's personal preference. Actually, I fished the Sierra, and that's a little bit softer. So, yeah. I know the Champ 735 and 736 are awesome frog rods. From my understanding, Sean, Boom Boom did not leave Dobbins. It's just that from what Gary said in our group is that basically he'll never make another green rod. So I think cosmetically the green Boom Boom rods were not well received. That's the take. That's what I heard. Yeah, that'd be cool. I don't know that it's physically possible to pull both events off, but so full open 33 or 34. So there's only like 5 or 6 spots left. I better get on it. 744 versus flip special. The 744 is a much lighter, I feel like more balanced rod. You'll be a lot less fatigued flipping with a 744. If you're flipping like 1 to 1.5 ounce, like trying to pull monsters out of like bushes on Falcon or Okeechobee, probably 765. But if this is your average pad, milfoil, up to an ounce stuff, I'd go 744. Yeah, cool. Awesome turnout tonight. This is amazing. There's this many people on a, must be not much going on streaming. The Dobbins skipping rod, I think that's the 610-4. I have not thrown it. I like a 7-footer or longer. I know a lot of people like a shorter rod for skipping, so I throw a 705 for docks. Yes. 746 is a good frog rod as well, if you have that kind of budget. I mean, if you're like a dedicated hardcore frogger, it's worth it. But that's a lot of money for a frog rod if you're not. Yeah, I missed another cut. No chances. My best chance is that, like, I'm still hoping somebody drops out for this lacrosse divisional, but time is against me for that. I guess my next best chance is to go fish the TBF semis on Sturgeon Bay at the end of September and go the TBF route. Yeah, if you like green rods, they're having an amazing sale on Boom Boom rods right now, which are basically Champion XP Dobbins that are green rods. They're basically cosmetically Boom Boom, but the guts and design and everything is a Champion. And I think they are like $169. I was just going to look for the post on the community page here. And I think they're all up to date on the website. You can just go on there. I think the prices reflect that. You can order them. I don't see the post. This is great streaming, me scrolling through a Facebook page. But, yeah, if you want a good deal, yeah, I see that. And then you can get the Frog Series, right? White Whale, you were asking. That would be – there's a 736 Boom Boom Frog Rod, and I think you can get that for like $170 through the Dobbins website, which would be a steal and be an amazing frog rod. So there is that. I can't find the post. This is super irritating. I don't know. Too many posts on this website. All right. Any news on the DRX 725 other than that I want one but haven't got one yet? but I don't know what other news there would be. Winning bait at the TOC. I believe Kenny posted a picture on Facebook that he was just fishing a jig. The new Dow Coastal Reel has been all I wanted and a whole lot more for frogging. Love it. I would 100% recommend the Dow Coastal for a frog reel. It's amazing. Not that I'm aware of, but he might use 6-gill reels, I think. That could be why, but I'm not sure. Nice. Well, cheers to you, Matt. Yeah, I need to fish some of the Sobey models. Yeah, it's $169.99. So you're getting you're basically getting $100 off a champ rod if you're okay with green. Yep. Favorite tactic to find big fish in the summer in the Mississippi. If you want, I don't know. So if I think flipping is the best big fish tactic. Like, you're not necessarily going to catch as many fish, but I think to get like a 4 or 5 pounder, I think flipping is the way to go. Maybe topwater for smallies, but for largemouth, I would say flipping. I mean, frogs are good. You catch a lot of 2 to 3, 3.5 pounders, but I don't feel like you catch a lot of giants on frogs. So I think flipping, whether it's trees, mats, pads, I think that's how you get the really big ones. Yeah, I don't know what the timeline is for restock. I didn't realize they were out. I have not fished a lake. I don't have live sonar. And I have not fished with anybody on a lake with a lot of weeds that has it. So I really can't speak to that. I have been fishing Dobbins rods for probably 10 years or more. I used to use Loomis. And I had bought all those Loomis myself. And I still buy all my own Dobbins rods. But basically, I had some rods break, and I sent them in that were relatively new, and I don't felt like there was anything negligent on my point. And I sent them in, and they basically told me to get lost and wanted me to just buy a new rod. There was no warranty. So that turned me off at the time for Loomis and Shimano, and I went all in on Dobbins at that point and haven't looked back since. Been really happy with their rods. Cool. What else? So let's talk about tournaments. All right. So rewind. Green Lake TBF State Tournament. The video is about half done. It'll be up hopefully Friday. I only had a day and a quarter of practice on a lake that's known for smallies. And I decided I was going to go shallow to try to look for bigger fish shallow. I figured on a short practice, I really wasn't going to outlearn the lake for people that have fished a lot. The first night of practice, I caught three smallies on a fluke that probably would have weighed 10 and a half pounds. That pretty much locked me into that. I went all in it all day with my practice, and that backfired in the tournament. I had found one largey spot with grass that I flipped for a limit each day. And basically I was slipping these 1099 big bait tubes. So it's green pumpkin on one side, black and blue on the other. Great color anywhere you go. And I was slipping that on a 1/2 ounce weight Texas rig, much like this one here. This one's a 3/4, but basically rigged like this. I wasn't fishing on this rod. I was fishing on I didn't have this rod yet. But basically that with a ring DWG, you'll see in the video, that's how I caught almost all my fish on Green Lake. This is an Arsenal Assault Bug we were flipping tonight. But the tube craw is what got it done. 1/2 ounce weights, 20-pound fluorocarbon, jacked them in the boat. It's hard to beat the craw tube around grass. Omnia Fishing has a bunch of these. in bulk packs. So if you like craw tubes, or if you're like flip grass and looking for another bait, this is a really good option. So that was TBF. I caught him in practice on a fluke, but in the tournament, all I caught was largies. It was kind of a bit of a bust, basically because I only practiced shallow. I didn't really have anything deep to fall back on. So I was kind of stuck. So that's how that went down. And that was embarrassingly bad tournament. I finished in the bottom five, which I don't know the last time I fished statistically in the bottom 10% of a tournament field, at least 5 years. I was so angry after that. So frustrating. So, but I feel like I went in with the mentality and stuck to something that probably could have won had things went differently, if the weather didn't change or they would have stayed shallow. But at the flip side, it was a good way to bomb a tournament too. So, I did do a big stone recap. It's probably been out close to a month now. It's, let's see here. Yeah, I'll show it to you here real quick. Right here. So I did two videos. Practice video, Land of the Giants, me hanging out with Dan from Arsenal Fishing. We fished that. They're good vids. I think you'll like them. Check them out. So both of those videos are on the channel about a month ago. So there you go, AP Fishing. Yeah, it was. Yes, Brian, it was good to see you. Your red and black Phoenix is super sharp. You got a great looking boat there that you picked up from Intune Marine. So it was cool to meet you. Yes, 1099, aka Tramp Stamp, if you're Reaction Innovations, is the greatest color. Tournament this Sunday on Pokegama looking for big fish. Don't sleep on a 110 or 135 bone colored whopper plopper for big fish, both smallies and largemouth on Pokegama. When do I choose a craw tube instead of a jig? Two reasons. One, if my jig's not coming through clean, if for whatever reason the grass isn't super crisp and it's clingy and like hanging up, I'll go with a craw tube or a Texas rig. Could be an assault bug, right? Basically, you know, could be a craw tube, could be a lot of things. Could be a D-bomb, could be this assault bug, which is kind of a nice, unique shape, right? Slender profile, got some flapping going on, comes through the grass pretty good. But yeah, that's one reason. Or if they're just looking for something a little more, sometimes when the fish are just a little neutral, they don't eat the jig as well. But on the flip side, when the fish are eating it and the grass is crisp, I'll fish the jig all day because it gets a good bite, gets a big bite, it catches a lot of fish. And the efficiency of having that trailer up on that jig, especially with a screw lock version on like the Bass Tech tungsten, that I can just like flip. You catch one, you get it in the boat, you unhook it, put it in live well, let it go, and like everything's ready, you just flip back in. Like craw tubes, D-bombs, things like that, you're constantly fixing the Texas rig, re-rigging it, getting new worms. So when the bite's a little tougher or the grass is not super friendly, Texas rig, if the bite's on and you can get away with it, jigs all day. I don't know that I've sea rigged a Carolina rig, but I could see why where it being good. Yeah, I mean, like I've Carolina rigged a ring fry, which wouldn't be terribly different. I'm not sure. Is Darius still in the chat? Because Darius goes up to St. Clair every now and then. He might be able to help you out. So, or somebody else in the chat about St. Clair. But I'm not up on my guides. Methylate, best color ever. I can't say that I've caught many fish on. I've caught way more fish on motor oil than methylate. Vegas Pro 18. Lots of goodies. I'm not sure what that is. What is a Vegas Pro 18? Believe it or not, Gabe, I was on the lake where you and I fished, and we struggled to catch five fish tonight. It was not good. It was stingy. Nice. BFE is a good bait for sure. That's a good way to put it. That's what I was kind of saying. Nice, David. Glad you got yourself some cutter kit. I think you'll enjoy it. For those that didn't see that earlier, the Arsenal Fishing's got a new cutter kit with three different scissors for your boat or your tackle bag in a nice friendly kit and a bag to keep soft plastics and other things in. So pretty good deal. Yeah. Glad to help you with the license situation and good luck in lacrosse, and hopefully sometime I get to see you. How did I approach Cronus for the TBF? We'll get to that in a minute. Yeah, did he get a Vexus? Maybe that's what he was saying instead of Vegas. Yeah, that's cool. You were up, actually, you were up Reamer, Longville area where Matt's going. And where the, it sounds like you had a good time up there. Yeah. What'd you think of Omnia? Did you get anything? Did you buy anything when you were there? Ah, editing software. I'm still stuck on DaVinci. So yeah, but we'll now jump into the TOC. So TOC was all last week, practice Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, off day Wednesday. I went to pool 5A for fun and tournament was Thursday, Friday. And so I got boat draw number one. In practice, I spent very little time. I spent like 2 or 3 hours on Lake Pepin. I spent 2.5 days fishing pool five and like a day and a half fishing pool four of the river. And I was really committed to going down to five until I drew boat number one. And there was one spot that I had some really good fish on it on Pepin. But I didn't spend a lot of time practicing up there, so I didn't have a lot of backup. But I took the chance. I ran up there, and I got there before anybody else. But about 30 seconds after I sat down, another boat sat down, and then five more boats behind them. There was 6 or 7 boats that tried to start on this big point. None of us caught them. I caught a big pike. I caught a giant drum. Like, wait till you see the video of this. This drum... Honest to goodness, you'll see the picture. I wasn't holding it out, but I had it like this, and it was this wide. It was way wider than my shoulders, and it was about that deep. I'm guessing 16 to 20 pounds or more. Biggest drum I've ever seen. It had a chatterbait stuck in its throat. I could put my whole hand in the drum's mouth and get a hold of the chatterbait. That's how big it was. It was crazy. But basically, no fish on that. I ran a couple other spots. Finally got on a sand drop, and that's where this bait comes in for the state tournament. Day one, I got a limit throwing a bone colored vixen. And this is an OG one. I think the newer ones are still pretty good. You can get the Paycheck Repo Mans as well, which are hard to find as well. But this bait was dominant. It got me a quick limit. My co was throwing a Zara Spook Jr. He missed one fish and I caught a limit. And it wasn't like I was back. We were just going back and forth on a sand drop. As far as I'm concerned, on the Mississippi River, bone is about the only color you need for both largemouth and smallmouth. Depending on the bait and where you were on the river, the big one wasn't always the choice, but I was fishing for fish that were chasing shad, and so the bigger vixen was working well. If you were got on wing dams and things like that where they were chasing like little pin minnows or other parts of the lake where the shad were really small, then a popper or a smaller vixen or the Barrier Legal or a small Zara Spook would work better. But in the areas I were at, where they were chasing normal size shad, this was the deal. So I caught a limit. I bailed on the lake. I probably should have stayed there. I went and fished my stuff on four, upgraded like 1 or 2 times, caught like 11.5 pounds. It wasn't a great day. It wasn't a terrible day. A couple things I do on this vixen. I fish it on, I guess normally it would be a 703 or a 733. This one's a 704 because I broke a rod last week, but 7 foot rod, medium to medium heavy. I like something with a decently soft tip. High speed reel. So I got this on like a Tatula 7-1. I throw 40-pound mainline braid to a like super short, like this is like maybe 8 inches of fluoro or monofilament leader. For this big bait and that short of a leader, it doesn't matter what you do, fluoro or mono. If you go down to the poppers and the smaller walking baits, you're going to want to go mono because that little bit will drag the bait down and screw up how it works. But this is a big enough bait, it doesn't matter. I like braid because I can cast it further. And then when a fish hits it, all I have to do is just kind of lean into them and pull. And if the fish misses it, the bait just pops right back up and they can come and hit it again. And then as far as you just have to be careful when you're playing them, you can't horse them super hard. When you get close to the boat, you just got to be careful. If you use a rod with a softer tip, I don't lose a lot of fish on top water, but I hook them very well. I feel like when I fished mono on top waters, two things would happen. Either on a long cast, I would set the hook, there'd be too much stretch, and I wouldn't get the hook into them, and they'd pop off. Or they'd miss the bait, and or they would just kind of pull it down, and I'd set super hard, the bait would come flying out of the water, out of the strike zone. I'm super sold on straight braid. It may not work for you, but it works great for me. And then this is really just to keep the hooks from tangling. This short leader, a little bit shock absorption, a little bit visibility, but more it's so when this hook, sometimes when you're walking it really hard, it comes up and like hits this. With straight braids, sometimes that point of that hook will go right through the braids and creates a mess and creates inefficiencies of retying and things like that. This doesn't have much left, but I like a red hook on the front for top waters. It feels like they hit the front of the bait better. I hook them better. On the back treble feather, I actually put double spurt rings, so it hangs a little lower. And if they just get that one last hook, they have less leverage. So those are some of the mods I do to Vixens. But yeah, got a really nice limit. But where it really shined was on day two. Went to the spot I should have started on day one. It was an upward facing island point with a sand drop and wood on it. And I probably caught 10 keepers to my Coe's zero when he was fishing a Berkeley Jaywalker of the same color. Yeah, you won't convince me that a Vixen is not a great topwater. So I know they're hard to get. The new ones, sometimes Tackle Trap and other places get them in. I think they're worth the time and effort and money to get them. All right, let's catch up on a few questions. 735 for flipping setup or a 744 jig special, both good rods, depending on what series we're talking about, Owen. I don't know. I haven't talked to Seth. I know he's been busy. I think he's got a hunting trip. I know he's going to be on Bale Tail next week. I don't know how many interviews that Seth does outside of a few major ones, but I would love to have him on if he's interested. Maybe Jacob could plant a seed for me. I have no idea what Topaz Labs is, but I do know DaVinci Resolve is free, and that's what I use. No guests tonight. Sure, I can send you a link if you want to talk TOC, Bart. I can do that. I'll send you a link via Facebook, and you can join in. Let's see. All right, we'll see if Bart joins in later. Got a couple things, bulk pack craw tubes. Got to hold a Kage. Yeah, it's kind of neat. When you go into Omnia, they have like little computer monitors and you can fill out your order and then basically they'll just pick it for you and bring it out. Yeah, bone spook on sandbars. So, I mean, definitely a spook. I know a shower blow played for a lot of people, but I love a shower blow. There's basically three topwaters that I throw. One is a Vixen. Well, regular Vixen, barrel eagle Vixen. Number two is a bone-colored yellow magic popper. And number three is a shower blow. I do plan. I haven't registered yet, but I got the official invite. So at this point, I am planning to come fish Sturgeon Bay in end of September. So I know it can be tough that time of year, but it's a bucket list lake. I've never been there before, so I'm willing to give it a whirl, and it should be fun. Yeah, so what I'm talking about is only a really short, like less than 10 inches of fluoro, and it's got to be a bigger topwater. For the smaller topwaters, the fluoro definitely messes it up. So like in my barely legal vixen and my popper, I definitely got to go mono or it messes up the way they walk. Rod for vixen, I would go like a 733 or a 703 would be my preferred rod for the vixens. We don't hold back here, Gaff. We give it all up. Depends where I'm at, what size the bait fish. They're both good baits, the 110 and the 130. Yep. The one knocker tackle is a good one as well. From everything I've heard, it's the same bait. I have not tried. Are you talking about the new 77? I have not got any of those yet. I saw those on the Baitman channel. Yeah, those are good baits. I just have so much confidence in those three that I've got plenty of them in my tackle box. There's really no need. Getting married, Sean? When are you getting married? So you need all the YouTubers to return the donations that you send every week, and then you can pay for the wedding and the honeymoon. You should do a live stream from the wedding. I'll join in. Oops, sorry about that. Yeah. Yeah, try throwing a mono leader with braid. See what you think, Bono. Yeah, that's the thing, is they're hard to get. What's up, Bart?
What's up? Yes. How are you?
Not too bad. I've been like on a bender. Like I said earlier, like this was my 11th day fishing in a row, and I think tomorrow's going to be my 12th.
That's a good bender. I should be getting ready for a woman right now, but I'm not.
It's been good from a quantity standpoint. I've been a little off on my game from a quality standpoint.
It's been tough around here, man.
I'm trying to catch up on the chat.
You're good.
All right. Bulldog love, blah, blah, blah. So, Bart, topwater worked for you at State.
Yeah, it did. I saw you talking about that vixen, and I was just like, oh, God, we ran into some of the same type of stuff. Yeah, day two was definitely way better. I mean, day one, it was gas until like 11 o'clock, I think. So didn't really work that well. I don't think I caught a fish on topwater day one, to be honest.
Well, I caught my limit on the lake on a sand drop, and it was actually pretty good chop. And I think that's where, I don't know if you fished a vixen, but they're pretty loud. And I think that's why I was able to call them up. I tried a jerkbait there. I tried a fluke. I tried a Minnesota rig. I tried a flat side. That was the only thing I could get them to eat.
I was throwing a shower blow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good bait.
Yeah, it really is. But, yeah, day two, man, they ate topwater till like 2 o'clock. And they were all about it.
Yeah.
So that was fun, and that was kind of, I was looking at those conditions with it, clouds and haze and dead calm, and I had Gaff run in with me, and I told him, I was like, I'm putting a topwater rod in my hand probably for 99% of the day today, and we're going to go see what we can do.
Yeah, I started the day with a limit and called several times in the first spot, but I was telling him earlier, like, there was the guy behind me was throwing a jaywalker, and he couldn't buy a bite.
Yeah, yeah. Gaffron was throwing a spook behind me, and I was getting considerably more bites than him with a shower blow.
Spook Junior, right?
Yeah, I think it's something to be said. I don't know how that vixen works because I haven't thrown a lot of them. The only thing I've really gotten to with a shower blow on the river specifically, compared to other places, is just I think those river fish get so excited when they see a topwater, And like, if you have a spook or, you know, the Berkeley one or whatever it is, those walking baits move so fast forward that they miss it like a lot. So if you can have one that more of, rather than a V, it's more of almost like back and forth in the same spot, they just get it way better. I think that's just what happens. But yeah, that was fun. I see that comment from Craig. Kind of. I'd like my boat, I would get to a sand drop. So like I was looking for the steepest sand drops possible. Like I got basically zero practice. I'm familiar with 4 and 5, but I would just run around and get to the absolute steepest drop I possibly could, which on the river's like 1 to 4 feet. And I would put my, that's why 360 was really nice, to be honest. I'd butt my boat like right up to the edge of that sand drop, and I wasn't fishing the actual drop. I was throwing as far as I humanly could up on top of the sand. So yes, I was kind of fishing sand drops, but it was more of sand flats. And like, if you didn't get bit, there's so much sand grass and stuff out there right now. Like you'd have to reel your bait in, take the grass off, chuck it back up. But, yeah, that's mainly what I was doing. I did find after I got my, I had about 14 and a quarter in my live well at probably 11 on day one. And so I just went fishing because I knew two of the spots I had had some really big fish on them, and I just didn't want to mess them up day one because there was nobody there. I was so by myself. I just didn't want to mess them up. So I just went fishing, and I ended up – I went by this grass line on literally the main river that had tons of shad on it. When I went by it in practice, I could see them rippling. And I just went there and I started fishing, and I got to one little section of it. And you could throw anything into there, a swim jig, a spinner bait. I caught like two on a spinner bait to start, but then they stopped eating that. But you could throw anything you wanted to in there, but they would only eat a fluke. And I sat power pole down there for 2 hours. And I think I caught at one point, I like counted up to like 24 fish in 24 casts. It was unbelievable how many fish were on this little grass point just snapping a fluke back, largies and smallies. It was a lot of fun. I think Dagus pulled up to me about an hour into that one. It was a lot of fun.
Nice. Yeah, that's the cool thing about the river is like you can find groups of fish on lakes, but you can find megawads of fish so much better on rivers. Like it's
crazy. Like, and they're ready to eat, all of them.
Sometimes, but yeah, when they are, they really are.
Yeah, like, when they're ready to go, they are, like, ready to go.
I went to 5A on Wednesday for a little bit in the morning. You know, I was fishing some wing dams that were covering grass because the water was even lower over there. Really? And I made a really short pitch to this little grass clump on this, like, sand drop wing dam. They couldn't have been 10 feet, and I, like, started – moving my yellow magic, and they just started coming up. Boom, boom, boom. I mean, there was rapid fire, like 2.5 pound largemouth, one right after another, just hitting it. And they were just, you know, because it was so close to the boat, they weren't like really, really committing to it. Yeah. But they were just like, deesh, deesh, deesh. And then finally one just came up and just choked it. And like, but it was like, I wish I would have my chesty on because it was like just mayhem, like literally 5 feet from my boat. I couldn't like barely like twitch the topper, you know, because it was almost hitting the boat, and yeah. It was just like, man, it was nuts.
Yeah. I think Gaffron and I probably saw the coolest thing I've ever seen on the river on day two. It was like probably about noon, we'd pulled up to one of the really good spots I had where I didn't fish day one. And we were just looking around for them because they move so much, especially on sand. But we're moving around, and all of a sudden, like off in the distance, I could see like one solo shad, you know, doing the whoosh, 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 over the water. And I see just, you know, 3 pound smallie just chasing them, like back out of the water. And I kick my trolling motor up as high as I can, basically get to the point where my trolling motor's burying in sand. I put my poles down and looked at Gaff, and I was like, man, this is going to get wild, I think. And I cast it up there and just twitch, 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 and it smashed it. And the moment I set the hook on that fish, that whole sand flat, like, I mean, I'm talking probably an area 25 by 25 yards, went to like looking like a hot tub. That's the only way I can explain it. Just churning water everywhere in a foot of water. And we saw all of a sudden just shad blowing up everywhere. And we could probably count 8 to 14 smallmouth just chasing them. And it was literally the coolest thing I've ever seen. And for the next hour and a half, 2 hours, we sat there and like they'd fire up for like 30 seconds and then they'd die back down. And we keep catching fish, but every time they'd fire back up, we'd get a big one or two. And it was just insane. Like there's no other way to say than it was completely ludicrously insane. Like we were on the spot at the time. Like they were just eaten.
Yeah, my starting spot on day two, which should have been my starting spot on day one, in practice was like that. Like it was like they were just, and I had a couple of our high school co's, and they were just like, this is amazing. And I was throwing a yellow magic with like the, you know, they come with those little red plastic hook covers, and they were just like literally like, dude, this would be like, boom, and like pulling it down, and it would like float back up, and then it'd be like, boom. It's just like, they're just like, oh, that's another big one. That's another big one. Like it was fun.
Yeah, dude, it was so cool. Like I looked at Gaff and I was like, I feel like we're like in the Earth movie right now.
And you weren't just,
like,
filming in
National Geographic. Like we both said, because we're both cameramen. I was like, man, if I did, like, I'm happy I'm fishing state right now and this is happening. It's fun to be fishing a tournament, but like if I had a long lens and a camera right now, like this would be pretty sick. Like this is something you see that people don't believe, and then they see it and they're like, oh my God.
Other than the river, how do you catch smallies in less than 3 foot of water visibility? Chatterbaits are good. White chartreuse chatterbait. Swim jigs, tubes. There's a lot of options.
I think it's basically the same things you would use in clear water, except you just change your colors.
Yep.
Like dye tail, chartreuse, stuff like that. They're such sight feeders. They'll go find it.
What is, I'd like to say, I didn't really pay attention to the water temp on the, was it right around high 70s?
Yeah, I think day two by the end, it was about 80 again, but it was high 70s, low 80s. Yeah. Cooler than it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago in Tourney Tuesday. We went out and it was 87. I was like, what on earth is going on here?
Yeah. I mean, like, so last summer, I fished Vermilion and most of my smallies came in less than 5 feet of water. And I pretty much caught them all on a stupid tube, green pumpkin, and a white and chartreuse chatterbait.
Yeah. I think it's a little different between tannic compared to just like dirty water too. Sure.
Yeah. I like a 7-1 for my chatterbait. How about you, Bart?
Yeah. I think I have it on a 6-3 right now, but I'd rather have it on a 7-1.
Oh, my co, George, what's up? He was there to witness the Vixen thrashing on the he did get me at the end though, because like we come back at like 2 o'clock to fish the spot one more time before we lock. And he's like, if you catch one more on a Vixen, I'm definitely ordering one tonight. And so I was like, oh, I gotta throw the Vixen now. And then he smoked a 3-pounder on a stupid tube behind me. He baited me in.
He gotcha.
But George, we were talking about you earlier. We were showing off the 744 jig special rod, which when I dropped my video review, you said that you ordered one like that night or the next day. Have you fished this one, Bart?
Yeah, I saw you do the review, and I was actually knowing how much you'd throw a jig. I was actually shocked how long it took for me to see that video, because I think I have 4 of them. That's my most universal rod in general. Like, not even just flipping a jig or a Texas rig. Like, I'll throw a worm on it. I'll throw a football jig on it. I'll throw a Carolina rig on it. That's my hair rod, like big hair jig. Oh.
Preacher Joe.
Oh, yeah, not small air, but big air. That rod can do, like, anything. It is an awesome rod.
So what I was saying is it really compares to my HP 745.
Okay.
And that's what I like my HP 745s. I throw football jigs. I flip jigs. I flip beavers. I throw Carolina, like, all that same stuff. But, like, this does all that for, like, $100 less.
Yeah. It's, like, I always thought it was pretty good. Like, the tip is really comparable to, like, that Champion 735, but it just feels a little more stout.
And it's balanced.
Yeah.
I mean, all Dobbins rods, but this one is, like,
it's so mint. It's just, like, if ever anyone ever looks at me and they're like, what Dobbins should I get to start? I'm like, get a 744 because you will throw everything on it.
Yeah. Me, I like a graphite. Lately, I've been throwing a 734 Sierra for my chatterbaits. And the 734 has got a softer action to it, but the Sierra has even a slower action, which is really good for chatterbaits. So, like, I know a lot of people swear by the Champion 736 CB glass rods, but I'm not about the glass life, and I like to feel stuff. And do I really need a $270 rod to throw a chatterbait when I can get by with a $170 Savvy that I think does a great job? So I don't know. Are you a?
I throw the 736 CB.
Yeah,
I love it. I think it's the best chatterbait rod I've ever used. But I can understand that. I throw a Sierra 734 for my swim jigs.
Mm-hmm.
Same type of reason.
Yeah, where I use the Champ 734 for swim jigs because I like just a slightly faster action. But
yeah.
Fishing attorney on Tonka, any ideas? I'll let Bart answer that. I have no idea.
And I don't know. Weights were pretty low for the Denny's compared to this time of year.
Throw a Neko rig.
Yeah. Neko rig will be really good. Or even, I mean, dude, that hair gets bit out there. Like, it does. That hair jig is awesome. But
the chicken.
Yeah. I don't throw the chicken specifically. Pinkala ties all mine. Right. But, big white hair jig, chicken jig, whatever ledge jig you want to call it. But if you don't have faith in that, it's tough to go wrong with a jigworm or a Neko. Just got to find coontail that's still alive.
I'm just waiting for the Googans to come out with a rooster jig.
Yeah.
So Connor can lose his mind.
Yeah. That'll happen.
What's going to happen next week for the title and the cross? They're going to catch them a lot. Based on the Mississippi River, they're going to catch them a lot of different ways.
Yeah, I think
you're going to see people catching them out of eelgrass. You're going to see people catching them flipping wood. You're going to see frogs. You're going to see sand drops. You're going to see current points. It's going to be a lot of stuff going on.
I think it's one thing that I don't really think is going to be going on is a frog bite, which is what people are pretty used to. Like, there will be some, but
that's what I'm saying. It's not going
to
be dominant.
There's just not there's not a lot of water. You can't get to the frog stuff. That's kind of part of the problem right now. I don't think you'll see it play as much. That's where I think you're right with, like, you're going to see a lot of different stuff play.
I mean, people will catch them on a frog, but this isn't going to look like the Todd Faircloth lacrosse win of 2015 or whatever.
It's not going to be where everybody goes out with a frog and a punching rod on their front deck and they go do that. I think it'll be interesting. We should see. I mean, from what I thought when we were there in state, I thought the river was fishing really good. And then I saw Wyatt fished, I think it was a Wednesday or Tuesday night or something down on 5A the other day. Yeah. And they caught dang near 20 pounds for five. So, like, the river's fishing really good. I think we're going to kind of see what the health and state of Pool 8 is right now. I know people have been a little bit worried. I think there's still plenty of fish, but
it's tougher down there. It just gets so much more pressure. Like,
it's
still good, but it's not. The fish have gotten smarter, just like Tonka, right? It's the same kind of thing. It's still a world-class fishery, but then fish are just getting harder to catch.
Yeah, so I think you'll see that. But, yeah, you're going to see a lot more things play. I really think you're going to see a lot of topwater, like Vixen, Spook, stuff like that in the morning, because with how low the water's been for so long and how much shad there is in the river right now, there is some crazy topwater going on in the mornings right now.
And you could definitely –
It's almost like the fall. That's honestly what I thought of it, because I fished the river a lot in the summer and like this time of year when I was at college in Winona, and you'd run into stuff like this every once in a while. But like this, it reminded me, state reminded me more of like almost the end of September bite. Like they were going ham on the sand and stuff.
It felt like it was happening. The transition started happening while we were there. And yeah. It felt like it was early. J-Rod, I like a 733 casting rod, and I throw it on braid to a short leader.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Rich, what do you – so that's what you throw your topwater on? Because I dumped four real big ones during the tourney, and I throw it on a 703 Fury. Same yeah. thing, 30-pound braid. I have like a 12 to 18-inch, 20-pound mono leader on it. Loose drag, pin them, and then just kind of let them do their thing and hope.
Yeah. That's what I do. The only other thing I do is, like, I do put a double split ring on my last treble hook.
That's what Felix told me.
So if you do have them on that back hook, that helps. I only lost one topwater fish in 2 days.
I only lost four, and they were all big.
Why are we the reason you don't throw any dive? I don't get that, Jay. You're just afraid that you'll love them too much?
And don't like a balanced rod. It does. That's one thing I will say about that 36. It loads. Like, it's not like you really... It's almost more like a crankbait hook set. Like, you don't jack them. It's just you reel it and your rod just kind of.
Yeah. I think if you're looking for a poor man's, don't sleep on the 734 Sierra. The Sierras are soft in general. Like, you're going to get a lot of that.
I think that might even be what Sobey throws his chatterbait on, to be honest.
Well, he's a walleye fisherman, so it doesn't matter. I suppose the video's out. We can congratulate you on your Tourney Tuesday AOI.
Yeah, you know, I came in for four or five derbies. We never cashed a check when I was there.
You don't feel like you were like the big, like the.
I made sure it got tight at the end, you know, making sure it really comes down to the wire. Just a few really bad performances.
Will wants to know how, not in detail, but like, how did you catch those smallies on Pokegamo?
The exact opposite you would think you would catch them on Pokegama. So we didn't chase smelt fish. We did it in the morning for about an hour because Hayden had live scope. So he ran around to the smelt fish, where if anybody's familiar with Pokegama, you go up to the middle of Pokegama in the morning and everyone's just, you know, moping or Dameki rigging, whatever you want to call it. They're video gaming them. But Hayden had figured out that they were very boat shy because it had been dead calm for about 2 weeks. So they're pretty boat shy. So in the morning for about an hour, we just ran a bunch of points and he'd just live scope and look for one and cast at it. And we caught one 4 3/4 doing that. Other than that, honestly, we caught them all shallow. Caught two on hair jigs.
So you caught him exactly how I tried to catch him on green, and it backfired on me.
Yeah, no, we caught him really shallow. But, like, dude, they were really specifically in, like, four spots. Like, we must have fished the two perfect spots to start practice where, like, you could see 20 to 25 pounds pretty, like not just one limit, like three or four limits of that. And then we went around looking everywhere the next 2 days for it. We found two more spots. That's it. They were not doing it everywhere. So, but yeah, like me, Nichols, and Jacob, we were all in sight of each other almost the whole day. So like we are all looking at each other like, well, I know I got a big bag and I know Nichols has about 20 pounds. Well, I'm sure Novak has about that too, because we're the only ones over here right now. We're all doing the same thing.
Yeah. I would say the other thing on the back to the topwater, I don't know if you put a red hook on the front, but that's something I do.
I have not done that. I will.
I find that they really hit the front of the bait, and then you get a better chance of getting multiple hooks in them.
I just feel like I don't lose a lot of them on lakes. It seems like it always happens on the river, and I don't know if it's just mean river fish or if it's what, but I don't know.
Yes, smallmouth will definitely play for the MLF Pro Circuit.
I think you're going to see, you could see if like fighter's pattern should be going. What he?
I don't know. I think largemouth will probably win, but smallmouth will play.
Yeah, for sure. Probably a mixed bag. I could definitely see more smallies than largies, though.
But the big bags are typically still largemouth. But
yeah, like if you're going to see a big one-day bag, like 18, 19 pounds, it's probably.
Or like 21, like.
Yeah. Yeah, like we did it.
That was crazy. Like that. So Corey Hawk stayed with us, and he was just like. He's like, I don't even know how that was physically possible this time of year. Like, he was just, like, mind blown that that happened.
Oh, dude, when I got up to 15 and a half, I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to come in. Corey's going to have, like, 17, 18. Day two, it's going to be perfect conditions. I'm going to swing for the fences, try to get 18, 19 of brown ones. Maybe I get lucky, but I'm not going to be too far out of it. And I get in with 15 and a half, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm 6 pounds out. I'm screwed.
Which pool? I don't know how it would be hard to say. That's any of those pools can be one. And I haven't been down there enough to say. That would be guessing.
Just from when I've been down there, from what I guess I saw on the rivers when we were down there, my first day of practice would be on 7. That's what I would do. But yeah, like you said, it can be one on any of those pools. Well, thank you. We did our best. We actually took 4th, and that's the best we've ever done on that lake.
A good old Pryor. I went out to Spring Lake last night, and it was a disaster. I've never been
there. We are so bad on Pryor. So bad. We looked at each other and we're like, we fished this lake for 4 years. I don't think we've ever weighed in a 4-pounder.
Depends if we're talking braid, or it really depends on your setup. Depends if you're a braid person, a braid to fluoro, straight fluoro. So I flip a lot with straight fluoro unless I'm in really heavy stuff. So I like a pretty fast action rod. But if you're a braid or a braid to fluoro, then you're going to want a slower action a little bit.
I flipped braid to fluoro with a Champion Extreme 746.
Yeah, but you probably do need to adjust your like hook set a little bit. Like, you don't want to be slacklining them.
No, I don't. Yeah.
Right. So there's a lot of variables.
Drags peeled back a little bit.
There's a lot of variables. It comes down to your rod, your line, your hook set, your hooks. Like, there's.
If it's a jig or a Texas rig.
Yeah, you got to kind of match your mechanics and your setup. So there's really no one right answer for that. I think sometimes super clear water pushes the smallies extra shallow.
Yeah, I'd agree. And heat.
It depends on the fishery and the forage base, though, as well. So
I'd agree. Wind, too. Like, if it's been calm for a long time, they'll kind of wander up shallow.
Yeah. Fighter. When he made his big comeback, he was largely fishing a sand drop, if I remember right.
Yeah, fishing sand drops. Shallow sand.
Yeah. And the Minnesota rig is basically a one-hooked A-rig with lots of blades.
It's all blades instead of dummies.
Yeah. The water's pretty low, but not super low. What's your free rig setup? I don't throw the free rig a lot, but I do have free rig weights, but I just haven't played around with it enough.
I don't even know what that is.
The free rig is basically, yeah. So basically you rig up a Texas rig, but instead of a bullet weight, you put like a elongated teardrop drop shot, but with the ring, right? So you basically just thread this on like a bullet weight and then tie your hook on, and then some people put a little bobber stop between their hook and the drop shot weight or the free rig weight, so it doesn't like hit the knots. But basically, you cast it out, and then your bait like floats up behind it. That's like an untethered Carolina rig.
I feel like hookups got to be awful with that.
It's supposed to be pretty good. I don't know. It's a Japanese thing.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, I struggled on spring. It was my first time ever being there. Blackfish.
It was good. It was better than, I mean, Bite was better than last year. Fisher really pressured. Like, really pressured. Like, you go up to a coontail patch and you look at 360 and you see like six of them sitting outside it and you throw a jig worm at it and you watch them all swim away pressured. So, yeah, it was more about finding fish that wanted to actually wanted to eat. That was kind of the big deal there. And it's a lot of timing out there right now. Like, it's always a timing lake, but it's really a timing lake right now.
I don't know. I think you can use the same rod for a spy bait and a hair jig.
That's what Hayden does.
It depends. If you love smallies and you're really into it, then yes, it's worth getting a dedicated rod. I don't know. It's still situational. Depends how much you fish smallies in clear water.
Yeah.
Like, if you live in Minnesota, it's probably worth having, and you fish tournaments and smallmouth lakes. I don't know. I have never crushed them on either one of them, so I'll refrain from.
Definitely have a hair jig rod.
Which can be your spy bait rod.
Yeah, and you can smash them all year on a hair jig. But
or if you're like me, you can just keep them super dry in a nice little box tucked away.
And it looks good.
It looks good.
Yeah. But yeah, then you can throw a spy bait on that too. Spy bait tends to be more when they're like really not eating. Like, it actually seems like a spy bait works better when they're like a hair jig isn't, because they're not eating, which sounds really bizarre, but that's all about I've figured out. And landing fish on a spy bait is also like terrible because they always swipe at it and there's blades in the front and back. And yeah, it's just, but hey, it wins stuff. It wins derbies. It's just really hard.
Let's look at that for those that are interested. This is the free rig.
Oh. Yeah, so it's just, yeah, like you said, an untethered hair jig. Or not hair jig, Carolina rig. Yeah,
right. It's basically a Lindy rig.
Yeah.
But I recommend the Bastek free weight.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. I know Brian Riesgraf loves the free rig. Nice joining in, David. We'll see you later. Spy bait can be killer, that's for sure.
Like I said, I just feel like it's really when they don't want to eat, because there's a lot of better ways to catch smallmouth, in my opinion.
Yeah. Like on a tube or a topwater or something cool.
Yes, I had it in my laundry room. It's the only quiet place.
It's good acoustics.
Yeah. It's dark.
Kayak tournament on a leech. That sounds awesome. Assuming you can.
Can you put a kayak in the rice? Is that legal?
That's a good question. So I don't know if the harvest season, where they're going to be, but either way, like, assuming you can launch wherever you want, I would launch in Boy or Federal Dam or the north end of Sucker or Steamboat. But so I'm a big boy. Corners. What's that?
So the four corners.
Yeah, like get as far away from Walker as you can. I'm a big boy. I love Boy. That's my favorite bay. But Frog should be good right now.
Like Frog ever not good on leech?
Like when it's frozen?
Yeah, there you go.
I feel like Leech is the lake where, like, you could go there in, like, end of October when it starts to ice up and throw a frog, and the fish would come up through the skim ice to eat a frog.
I would not doubt it. I've never heard it, but that's just all I've heard of that lake.
Like, they are the angry – like, imagine the smallmouth when they were sharking your topwaters, like chasing baby seals on Pepin.
Yeah.
That's how largemouth hit frogs in the rice on Leech. Like they don't come up. They come like from the side and like over the top of it.
Like, yeah. You see them like, coming for like 10 or 15 feet and you're like, dear Lord. Just,
yeah. It's nuts. Yeah. A frog and a flipping bait and get after it. Find the rice with bait and slightly deeper water in it. I mean, actually kayak fishing on Leech sounds amazing as long as you don't have to traverse the main lake and you can launch in the bay you want to fish.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be fine. I mean, you can get away from the wind.
I'm pretty sure Bart has fished Okoboji.
I have, but I've only fished it when it's like 30 degrees. It's a really good lake.
So if I'm practicing, I'm usually humping my frog pretty quick looking for fish. It really depends. Like I like to work a frog fast. If they're not eating it or missing it, I'll slow down. But I like to start with my frog pretty fast. And I like a walking frog in general more than a popping frog. So now if I'm skipping it under docks and trees, then I will definitely like I'm getting it into like the juice and then it'll be a very deliberate, hard, slow walk until I get out to the shade line. But if I'm fishing mats and pads and stuff, I'm going to keep my frog moving pretty quick until they tell me they won't chase it down.
I don't throw a frog a lot.
Well, we'll just get rid of Bart.
I leave that to you. You go do that. I'm all right at it, but I definitely don't need to do it.
Black, and if they won't eat the black, then sometimes a white. No, or like
that's actually the way I frog too.
Yeah, I like black, and then actually I like the natural red, that Spro brown red color.
Yeah,
white. Sometimes I'll mix in some bluegill colors if I really feel like they're like if you're obviously around bluegill beds, you're like in that like post spawn.
Yeah,
but most time I love like the lakes where you grew up, Bart, and down towards like St. Peter, yeah, and like black frog, skip it as shallow as you can. It's basically dragging its belly and like shady, they just crush it. It's an amazing bite in the dead of summer when nobody thinks you should be fishing there.
Yeah, I think the only time I throw a white one is honestly more towards fall.
Yeah, on the river, sometimes there'll be an obvious, like you'll see shad running through the pads.
Yeah,
they'll throw a white one or something like that. Yeah, there are a lot of people that like that black and yellow blackbird frog. Like Pete Hare, when I was out with him, he loves that. He throws the Teckel, that black with the yellow nose, that blackbird color.
Yep. I think I have a couple of those.
Man.
My frog box is probably like your hair jig box. It just looks really good. Just chills there. Nice. Don't really have too many scars on them. Got like one or two that are really beat up. They always get pulled out.
Yeah. Big Stone is amazing for frogs. Them fish did not miss a frog to save their lives. I think in 3 days of fishing, I only had one fish miss a frog. It was like in their crushers, like every time. It was amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
So after state, disappointing 18th, 19th place finish. Guys crushed them. I had no idea that it was going to take 30 pounds to make the top 10. I would have said 27 coming in. 27 got you like 20th. So, but congrats, Bart made it. If we didn't say that, Bart finished what, fifth, third?
Yeah, something? Yeah, thank you. I thought it was going to take like 14-ish a day is what I thought to get 10th. Then I came in day one and I was like, oh, God, I got to smash them tomorrow.
So then I busted home Friday night. Saturday morning, I got the dogs to the kennels, said hi to the kids, sent them up to Cass Lake for the week, and then I spent the afternoon on Coronas practicing for TBF team trail. Didn't find a lot. But we did have one little area that we did pretty well on, which was a frog area in pre-practice, like a long time ago. But it changed, and I ended up catching them all on a buzzbait.
Midsummer buzzbait.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of this Accent Jacob Wheeler buzz.
I have a bunch of those. Those things are awesome.
These are amazing. Not this color. I mean, this is a good color, but at the lake, I was throwing the black one. And the my new favorite buzzbait trailer is the Hammercraw. Now, Jacob Wheeler, I don't think is any longer affiliated with Gene LaRue, but he came out with it. I don't even know if they make this one anymore, but
this that looks good.
It's been an amazing. So I rig it upside down so you get the smooth side instead of the rib side on the buzzbait. And super impressed with this buzzbait. Like, it's legit. They were wolfing it. And we basically were one bite away from having a good tournament. We caught 2 4-pounders and a 3-pounder and then had 2 under 3 pounds. But you'll see in the tourney vid, I caught like 20 fish on a buzzbait. It was a good time.
Yeah.
But buzzbait. It
doesn't happen a lot in Minnesota either.
No, that's the thing. Is like I was telling Michael, like, I don't remember the last time I was on a buzzbait bite that good. Like,
yeah.
But if you're looking for a good buzzbait, the Accent Buzz and the Hammercraw, it's very good. I'll put links in the description of all the baits we talked about tonight, like the topwaters and the jigs and the tube craws and the all that stuff for those that are interested. I have not tried the Vexen baits, but they've got some cool marketing.
I have not either.
Oh yeah, and then that's a good question. The setup. I hit like a 734 or 735 for my buzzbait rod, and I throw that on 40-pound braid with a 7-to-1 reel. It's a long rod, 7'3", depending on the cover, either 735 or 734, straight braid. Yeah, don't mess around. And then you just had to be patient when they eat it. Let them eat it and then get them. It's an Accent Jacob Wheeler buzzbait. Not that he's ever caught a fish in his life, but he has an original and a finesse, and I'm throwing the original. And I will put some links down for people if they can't find them.
I think I have the finesse ones. Actually, I might have both. Yeah. I don't know the difference between the two, to be completely honest.
And it has a really good, like, keeper.
Yes, I do remember that. I was trying to pull a trailer off it. And it's
so they come with a skirt off of them in the package, so you can put the skirt on there. But otherwise, it's got this that's not really showing up. But it's got, like, the molded part, and then it's also got a little wire barb. So you get both the molded and the wire. And it holds plastics really good, whether you want to throw, like, a little swim bait or a horny toad or a Hammercraw. And durability, like, I actually caught, I don't remember where I was. I was somewhere else where I was catching them before Coronis. Where was that? Bart, where was I? Don't you remember?
It wasn't Big Stone? I know you were there.
No. Fabiano was catching them on Big Stone. God, where was I?
It wasn't Green.
Wasn't on the river. Wasn't on Green. Did I fish too much or not enough that I can't remember what I was fishing? Anyways, I caught a bunch of fish on another lake. And then I caught them there. And I've caught like probably 30, 40 fish on this buzzbait. And it's no worse for the wear. Like, and straight braid, like jacking on them. So, like, durability seems really good on it.
So just you talking about that buzzbait, one thing I did get on in the little bit of practice on the river that kind of blew my mind.
Yes, Liam, it was Washington. Yeah, somebody pays attention to what I put up. Thank you, Liam.
No, but I got into just kind of the weirdest bite on those wing dams. I couldn't get any of those fish to eat anything. I pulled out a spinnerbait, that Bassman, like TW Double Willow, like on an 8-1 reel. And I just burned that sucker over the wing dam, and oh my God, they crushed it. But they'd only do it when it was sunny and dead calm. It was the weirdest thing in the world. But they just crush it.
Nice. So Wheeler modifies as Buzzbait. That's why he's Jacob Wheeler, and I'm here talking to Bart.
That's why I'm Bart.
I have not tried the stupid crawl. I did see some videos on those, and I was kind of intrigued, but then I realized I have 400 pounds of soft plastics in my boat, and a stupid tube works pretty good. So I haven't tried the stupid crawl yet.
What stupid tube head do you use?
I use my own agitator heads most of the time, which is just a shaky football head. I don't know if I have any here handy. Yeah, it looks like this. So I don't use a tube hook. I use a ball shaky head.
Okay.
So it actually gets a little bit of a football shape, so it helps widen the head of my stupid tube a little bit. And then I don't think there's a need to use a tube J hook for a stupid tube. Yeah. I use shaky heads for my stupid tubes.
Gotcha.
Cool. Man, it's been like, I guess we're getting close to 2 hours. Trope car makes. There's an owner phantom jig hook that looks pretty good that I've heard people talk about, but I've never tried it myself.
I got some from this I can't remember the name of company. Act Lures? ACT, maybe? I can't remember the name. They had a good stupid tube head. Those are the ones I have that I throw. It's like a ball. Yeah,
another one that's really good is V&M.
Oh, was that it? No, that
I like. Pull it up here.
See if I can. Let me see.
V&M Smalley tube hook. I'll show it here. It's got an enormous wide gap tube hook. So I'll use this one sometimes.
I'm looking for this one right now.
Is that it? Otherwise.
Yeah, this is it. I think.
This is the one I showed just a second ago, is this Bastek agitator head.
I just sent you a link to it if you want to see it. Not very good pictures.
Where is it?
On Facebook. I sent you a message.
Facebook. Yeah, these look actually similar to what?
It's like a ball head and then 90 degree, I believe that is, or 45, whatever. Yeah, but it's like a giant.
This is, which is really similar to that one I just showed from V&M.
Yeah, it's a giant EWG. On it.
If anybody does website development, please contact this company and help them.
Make a good jig head. They do.
Not so much website, but
I told you, I was like, it's hard to get the picture up, but
any tips for gull? Well, there's typically a good jig worm bite. There's usually a good flipping bite, like on grass edges. A month ago or so, it seemed like they were in very specific deep weed edges where people hammered them. It's a good topwater lake. I mean, like, it depends. Are you just out there fishing for fun? It's a good spinnerbait lake. It's a good topwater lake. Get out and find the good green grass edges. Flip it, jigworm it, topwater it, spinnerbait if you get wind. Reeds can be really good if you get wind down in, like, Wilson and Steamboat. There's a lot of ways to catch them on gull. It's a fun lake.
I think gull is one of the most underrated or underappreciated bass lakes in Minnesota. They keep getting bigger. Like, the weights out there for Team Trail this year were astounding. But, like he said, it's just a phenomenal.
It's a good dock lake if you like docks. When you're there and it's not a tournament, there is, like, so many ways to catch them when they're not getting pressured.
Yeah, they are. It is a great lake. You can do just about whatever you want out there.
Best tube company. I don't know. I don't. Get Bit Baits is pretty good out of Wisconsin. They do like hand pours. I like those. Mm-hmm.
I throw a lot of ISG and Howies.
Yeah. I'm not like a huge tube snob.
Yeah. So, right. Got a good color and salt on it. I like it.
Stay off of woman. It'd be his number one tip.
My fish
until after Sunday.
Yeah, stay off woman. Don't poke any of those fish. Those suckers, just I'm praying for five bites, man. That Woman is probably, I think it's one of the, I don't know how I want to say this. It is one of the best tournament fisheries in Minnesota in the summer, in the sense of like, you feel like you're down south because the fish are extremely condition specific. They move a lot and they're very pressure sensitive, and you prey for about 7 or 8 bites. And it is very tough. So yeah, it's just pressure kills woman. But yeah, if you're fishing up there, fun fishing, I'd avoid woman, because there'd be about 50 boats out there trying to figure out how to catch 5 for like 23 pounds. But there's so many good lakes in the Longville area. Like, you can go just blast them just about anywhere.
Yeah, I would say hit the smaller lakes, right? Like girl, like boy. Yeah. Child, man. There,
I mean, you can go on the DNR website and look like within 30 miles of Longville, and there are some phenomenal bass fisheries.
Thunder is a good lake.
Thunder's really good. Yeah, that's still a bigger lake, but it never gets touched. It's a good one.
10 mile.
10 mile, I have heard, is good. I've never been there.
The only thing that I recall from ICAST that I'm interested in is the DT8.
Yes, I 1000% agree with that, because I think for like the last 6 years I've been like, man, I really wish they made a DT8.
So you can tell we're from Minnesota. We're like, give me the DT8.
Yeah.
I fished leech last July and September. So Gus, if you want to see how I did it, I got a couple of videos up. Nick says go to Pleasant. Never heard of Pleasant. The thing is, there's probably what in that area, there's probably 100 lakes within 30 miles.
Yeah, there's so many lakes. You can go back your boat into any lake up there and go whale on bass.
That's right, Billy. You can always catch the replay or the podcast. Search Hella Bass in your favorite podcast app. Lots of good stuff tonight. Oh, man, I feel like we're winding down. We're like almost 2 hours in. My Taco Bell's starting to wear off. I feel like I covered most of what I wanted to cover tonight. Remember, in the comments, if you're here late after the video goes up, I want to hear, should we make this a visor or should we leave it as like a dress hat? I feel like it'd be a very tall visor. This logo is pretty high.
I think that patch is a little tall.
Should I just cut it like right through the middle of the B? Just yeah. I'd just be like, Matt knows it. The replay to get you through the work day. I did get, I got one of these. I'm pretty excited about this. The Hassan hoodie.
Ooh. Those look really nice.
Yeah. It's an AFCO, so.
Be good for sure.
Yes. Exactly. It'd be D-I-L. Dill. I could do like a little hump, like right where it's like normal, and then just kind of like rises up and then comes back down. So let me know, leave a comment in the actual video like replay. That's where I want the comments, and we'll do a little poll. Maybe I'll put up something on the IG. But so you got anything coming out on the Bart YouTube channel that we need to know about?
Yeah, actually, I mean, once I gotta edit a few videos quick tonight, but once I get back from woman, I got 4 videos from the ABT 100 series with James Chapman. They're going to be so a little bit different than, I guess what I did with like the Crappie Chronicles, or what I did with the one, like editing that where it's like super cinematic and stuff like that. It's much more the, you know, harsh cut GoPro vloggy, type video. And James Chapman, if none of you guys know him, is an absolute riot. He is hilarious and very unpredictable. So yeah, the videos will be really good. There'll be one from Lay Lake in early January, and then one from Eufaula at the beginning of June. So yeah, I'll have both of those coming out here soon. And yeah, looking forward to those. And then once the opens start back up in October.
So Waze, you think I should make videos on how to make a visor? They're out there.
It's already done.
It's already done. There's 2 of them. We need more Elite Series. I did feel a little empty inside the week after Thousand Islands.
Yeah, short season, but I think the guys kind of need the break too. I'm excited for next year. I'm really excited for them to go to Oahu, not in June. You're going to see some big bags.
Yeah, like, and I don't know if you noticed this. Like, they're taking off literally 90 miles north of where they took off last time. So nothing, almost nothing. Like, basically the furthest people ran in the last tournament will be the very lower boundary of where people can run this time. So it's almost an entirely new fishery.
Except they can get gas down in 90 miles down because there's a harbor there, I believe. So if they run down, they can get back.
I don't think you can get. So the only gas is in Pierre, and I don't think you can get to Pierre.
Oh, really?
But maybe. Like, it would be
the very. I know there's like nowhere to get gas out there.
It's very tough. I feel like that would be the very, like, you'd maybe with the newer boats and the bigger tanks and the four strokes, maybe, but that would be pushing it to get that far on a tank of gas.
And I'm just saying, from talking to all the walleye guys that have been out there, I mean, when the elites first went there, they were like a week after the spawn. So like the hardest smallmouth fishing possible to get big bags, and they're just rogue. So they're going there now. It's in August, right?
Yeah, early August.
Like, I think all those walleye guys I talked to, they were like, man, you should see 20-pound or more average win.
Yeah, I mean, they just had a tournament there a couple weeks ago, like, because that's where Troy Deedy was practicing when he got that 7-something record. And I think it took 21 or 22 a day in their tournament.
Yeah, so, like.
And so a couple weeks later should be just a little bit heavier.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be really cool. And that lake is super cool. I don't think we really got to see it that well because of, I mean, just people couldn't get anywhere last time. I think they're going to a better part of the lake now too, I believe. But yeah, I'm excited to see them go out there. That'll be really cool.
But if you want
and Santee Cooper in March, April, oh my God.
Yeah. Should be a lot of good venues. And if you want to learn more about Oahu, listen to my 2 weeks ago when I talked to Troy Deedy on the stream. I have not been to Pool 19. It looks nothing like La Crosse, I can tell you that much. I have never tried the HP 784. Have you?
Nope.
I've heard it's softer than some people like.
Be a good football jig rod.
Probably a great football jig. Football, yep. I'm more likely to go La Crosse than Oahu, just from a logistical standpoint.
I'd maybe go out to
Oahu. Oh, he meant he wants more Elite Dreams videos, is what he meant to say.
Yeah, we need more opens. Me too. Trust me, the only thing sitting out there right now is me with like 187 finish. It's great.
Nice. Cool. Well, check out Arsenal Fishing. If you came late, check out the replay, check out the podcast. I'm gonna try to get another like Green Lake tournament video up this Friday, and then try to get like two videos in a stream out for the next few weeks just to get caught up. And then a couple weeks before we got another tournament, and I don't know. Should be more fun fishing, more beatdowns coming up in general on the channel. Appreciate everybody that tuned in. Kind of big numbers tonight for just randomly not scheduling a stream and throwing it up there. So thanks for joining in, Bart. Yeah, Bart was with Scott Martin earlier this year, but now he's too big time. So
Scott's too big time for me.
Bart's too busy. Bart's too expensive. He found cheaper talent to replace Bart with.
Yeah, both.
See, all of the above.
But I was with Scott for till Neely. Yeah, I was with him at Neely too. But yeah, I didn't even go down south after Neely, actually. I just wasn't down there. I had too much stuff going on.
Yeah. Alan, I hope somebody magically drops out and I see you in La Crosse as well, but I'm not as hopeful as I once was at this point. Bart told me I was in on the docks, and then I wasn't in the docks. So,
oh, you're talking about last year? Yeah.
Yeah, Whitefish. You were like, oh, you're for sure in.
11th.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap things up. As always, here to help you guys catch more big bass and suck less.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
As always, thanks to all of you that hung in till the end of this podcast. This has been another episode of the Hellebass Bass Fishing Podcast Experience. Please consider sharing this with any of your bassin' buddies and friends. This is the best way for podcasts to grow is through word of mouth. Also, don't forget to search Hellebass on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, or just about anywhere else so that we can connect in more ways. As always, here to help you catch more bass and suck less.